Chapter 13. Then I saw a wild beast rising from the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads. On its horns were 10 royal crowns, and on its heads were blasphemous names. It was like a leopard with feet like a bear's, and its mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon shared his power, throne, and great authority with the wild beast. One of the heads of the wild beast seemed to have received a deathly wound, but the wound had been healed. After this, the whole world was filled with fascination and followed the wild beast. They worshiped the dragon because he had given the beast its ruling authority. They also worshiped the wild beast, saying, "Who is like the wild beast? And who is able to make war against him?" The wild beast was given a mouth to speak boastful and blasphemous words, and he was permitted to exercise authority for 42 months. So the wild beast began to blaspheme against God, blaspheming his holy name and his dwelling place, that is, those who dwell in heaven. The beast was given the authority to wage war against the holy believers, and he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. Everyone on earth will worship the wild beast, those whose names have not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. If anyone has been given ears to hear, he'd better listen. For the one who leads others into captivity he goes. The one who kills others by the sword he will be put to death. This is a call for the endurance and faithfulness of the holy believers. Then I saw another wild beast coming up from the ground. It had 2 horns like a ram, but it spoke like the dragon. It operated in all the authority of the first beast on its behalf, causing the earth and its inhabitants to worship the first beast, whose mortal wound had been healed. It performed great miracle signs, even publicly causing fire to fall out of heaven to the earth. And through these startling miracles that he performed on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the world, telling the people to erect a statue in the image of the beast that had been wounded by the sword and yet lived. The beast from the earth was empowered to breathe life into the image of the first beast so that it could speak and kill those who refused to worship its image. It also caused everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and bound, to be marked on the right hand or on the forehead. This meant no one could buy or sell unless they had the mark, that is, the name of the beast or its number. This will require wisdom to understand. Let the one with insight interpret the number of the wild beast, for it is humanity's number, 666. Chapter 14. Then I looked, and behold, there was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion. Gathered with him were 144,000, who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a tremendous sound coming out of heaven, like the roar of a waterfall, and like the ear-splitting sound of a thunderclap. The sound of music that I heard was like the sound of many harpists playing their harps. And they were singing a wonderful new song before the throne, in front of the 4 living creatures, and in front of the 24 elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed, and who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins, and they join themselves to the Lamb wherever he goes. They have been purchased from humanity and brought forth as the first fruits for God and the Lamb. Their words are always true. They are without flaw. Then I witnessed another angel flying in the sky, carrying a message of eternal good news to announce to the earth, to every tribe, language, people, and nation. With a loud voice he shouted, "You must reverence God and glorify him, for the time has come for him to judge. Worship at the feet of the Creator of heaven, earth, sea, and springs of water." Then a second angel followed, declaring, "She fell! She fell! Babylon the Great is fallen, She once seduced the nations and made them all drink the wine of the passion of her harlotry. Then a third angel followed them, shouting with a mighty voice, "Whoever worships the wild beast and its image, and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, will also drink the wine of God's wrath. This wine has been poured out and mixed in the cup of his indignation. They will be tormented with sulfur and fire in the presence of holy angels and of the Lamb. And the smoke of their severe suffering ascends into ages upon ages. Those who worship the wild beast and its image and receive the mark of its name will have no rest day or night. This is a call for the endurance and faithfulness of the holy believers, those who follow God's commands and cling to the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from the heavenly realm saying, "Write this: Blessed are the dead, the ones dying in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Holy Spirit, they will rest from their trouble, for their deeds will live on." I looked, and behold, I saw a white cloud, and sitting upon it was one like the Son of Man, wearing a golden crown and holding a sharp sickle. Another angel came out of the temple, shouting out to the one sitting upon the cloud, "Take your sickle and reap, for the time of reaping the harvest has come, and the harvest of the earth is ripe." So the one sitting upon the white cloud gave his sickle a mighty swing over the earth and reaped its harvest. Then another angel came out of the heavenly temple, and he too had a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar of incense, the angel with authority over fire. He shouted out with a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle, saying, "Take now your sharp sickle and harvest the clusters of the vine of the earth, for its grapes are ripe." So the angel gave his sickle a mighty swing over the earth and gathered the grapes from the vine of the earth and threw them into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city until blood poured out of the winepress as high as the horse's bridle for a distance of 1,600 stadia.
Chapter 15. Respond gently when you are confronted, and you'll diffuse the rage of another. Responding with sharp, cutting words will only make it worse. Don't you know that being angry can ruin the testimony of even the wisest of men? When wisdom speaks, understanding becomes attractive, but the words of the fool make their ignorance look laughable. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, and He takes note of everything that happens. He watches over His lovers, and He also sees the wickedness of the wicked. When you speak healing words, you offer others fruit from the tree of life. But unhealthy, negative words do nothing but crush their hopes. You're stupid to mock the instruction of a father, but welcoming correction will make you brilliant. There is power in the house of the righteous, but the house of the wicked is filled with trouble, no matter how much money they have. When wisdom speaks, revelation knowledge is released, but finding true wisdom in the word of a fool is futile. It is despicable to the Lord when people use the worship of the Almighty as a cloak for their sin, but every prayer of His godly lovers is pleasing to His heart. The Lord detests the lifestyle of the wicked, but He loves those who pursue purity. Severe punishment awaits the one who turns away from the truth, and those who rebel against correction will die. Even hell itself holds no secrets from the Lord God, for all is exposed before His eyes, and so much more the heart of every human being. The know-it-all never esteems the one who tries to correct him. He refuses to seek good advice from the wise. A cheerful heart puts a smile on your face, but a broken heart leads to depression. Lovers of God hunger after truth, but those without understanding feast on foolishness and don't even realize it. Everything seems to go wrong when you feel weak and depressed. But when you choose to be cheerful, every day will bring you much more joy and fullness. It's much better to live simply, surrounded in holy awe and worship of God, than to have great wealth with a home full of trouble. It's much better to have a kind, loving family, even with little, than to have great wealth with nothing but hatred and strife all around you. A touchy, hot-tempered man picks a fight, but the calm, patient man knows how to silence strife. Nothing seems to work right for the lazy man, but life seems smooth and easy when your heart is virtuous. When a son learns wisdom, a father's heart is glad. But the man who shames his mother is a foolish son. The senseless fool treats life as a joke, but the one with living understanding makes good choices. Your plans will fall apart right in front of you if you fail to get good advice. But if you first seek out multiple counselors, you'll watch your plans succeed. Everyone enjoys giving great advice, but how delightful it is to say the right thing at the right time. The life path of the prudent lifts them progressively heavenward, delivering them from the death spiral that keeps tugging them downward. The Lord champions the widow's cause, but watch him as he smashes down the houses of the haughty. The Lord detests wicked ways of thinking, but he enjoys lovely and delightful words. The one who puts earning money above his family will have trouble at home, but those who refuse to exploit others will live in peace. Lovers of God think before they speak, but the careless blurt out wicked words meant to cause harm. The Lord doesn't respond to the wicked, but he's moved to answer the prayers of his godly lovers. Eyes that focus on what is beautiful bring joy to the heart, and hearing a good report refreshes and strengthens the inner being. Accepting constructive criticism opens your heart to the path of life, making you right at home among the wise. Refusing constructive criticism shows you have no interest in improving your life, for revelation insight only comes as you accept correction and the wisdom it brings. The source of revelation knowledge is found as you fall down in surrender before the Lord. Don't expect to see Shekinah glory until the Lord sees your sincere humility.